These are good times for California's wine industry. Sales were up 4% last year, and consumption is growing faster than the population. But right after Dr. Damian Wilson, who heads the Wine Business Institute at Sonoma State University, presented those figures, he quickly pointed out that the trends worldwide are quite different, especially in Europe.
A lot of Europeans still have this focus that if we build it, they will come. The problem is that with all the growth in the wine sector being with new consumers, the new consumer doesn't look for the best, they look for the entry-level categories. And this is what not just California, but the rest of the New World has actually been successful at doing, making the wine offer clear and easy enough for consumers to discover it and find out what they like.
Wilson hosted the opening panel at the day-long event, at which a recurring theme was the need for wine cellars, big and small, to develop a better understanding of their customers.
Wine has worked so hard in the last couple of decades to portray itself as this prestigious image. We've focused so hard on the improvements in quality in winemaking in the last 20 years that we've lost sight of the reason that people drink wine in the first place, and that's the enjoyment they get out of it.
That's something that craft beer makers have done far more successfully, agreed panel member Ron Lindenbush, chief marketing officer for Lagunitas Brewing. But he doesn't see beer and wine as competing products.
In some ways, I suppose we are, but I don't think there's a direct competition. There are some occasions where both are appropriate. And I think wine needs to break out of the stigma of being a food product and become more of a social beverage. Then there might be a little more direct competition.
The third panel member was Ryan O'Connell, a French-American winemaker who also works with NakedWines.com in Napa. He urged his colleagues to take a page from the craft beer industry and emphasize the social aspects of wine consumption, recognizing they are all seeking what Wilson calls throat share in the lives of their consumers.
When you think about throat share, it means everybody's going to be drinking something, and you just want to be a part of that experience. Whether it's wine or beer or just yummy food, there's people out there looking for a great experience and a social experience around food and wine. And it's so crucial to remember that that's our focus. We want to be a part of that shared experience.
That may be easier for small, individualist winemakers to do, he adds, because they are better positioned to create and maintain relationships with their customers, something that can sustain them as the baby boomer generation that has long supported the industry slips into demographic decline.
Larger companies that treat wine and other beverages as a commodity will be very concerned when the number of consumers goes down. When you're doing something really special for that social experience and in smaller, more human volumes, it's much less of a concern. Because if you make something really special and you have a smart way of getting it to your customer, you don't need millions to be drinking. You just need enough to support what you love to do.
For winemakers across the board, adds Wilson, there is still little understanding of how and why consumers' behavior changes over time.
What the wine sector doesn't do well is understand how the consumer goes from entering the category to working their way up. We know that some do for some reasons at some times under some occasions, but we don't know why, how, when, where, or how we can control that.
That evolution of tastes and buying habits, what Wilson calls climbing the ladder, will soon be the subject of further research at the Wine Business Institute and beyond. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.